Jesus is here and anything can happen. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's just all stand again and worship our Lord. Man, I tell you what, if you came forward this morning for a prayer for healing, you need to be praising and thanking God. Because, see, He is faithful. When we pray, He hears our prayers and He says He answers them. And if we're a Pentecostal church, if you say you're Pentecostal and you're not in here getting excited and worshiping God, I'm starting to wonder, huh? Shouldn't Pentecostals get excited about Jesus? Shouldn't we be the ones that are excited and praising Him? Praise God. Let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, praise God. We thank You, Lord, for Your divine healing power. We thank You. We worship You for what You did on the cross. We thank You for shedding Your blood and forgiving us of our sins, Father, for all eternity. And we praise You. We worship You, Lord. We lift up Your holy name, for You're righteous and You're pure. You're full of mercy and grace and kindness and love. And we thank You for saving us, Lord. We praise You. We glorify You. And Lord, we thank You in advance for the blessings You give our lives, Father, and Your mercies, for they're new every morning. And we praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And everybody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to be back. And guess what? God's still on the throne. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Praise the Lord. You know something? If you're visiting here today too, I want you to know this is not a doomsday church. This is not a doomsday church. This is a church that we, along with many, many other churches throughout this country as well as overseas, of select churches, not select, but remnant churches that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, preparing people for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your best day is not now. Your best life is not now. Your best life is going to be when we're with Jesus. And I'm excited about that. And we do. We preach on prophecy. We preach on world events. We preach on things that are going on in our world. And we need to be ready and prepared. We can, and as we do that, as we seek God's kingdom, the things that you and I have need of in our life, He says that He is adding to. He is taking care of. When we do let God take care of our business, we're working on doing what He's called us to do. And that's to reach a lost and dying world. Amen? There's people out there who need salvation. There's people out there dying and going into an eternal hell. And you and I, if you're in here and you're born again Christian, you got an answer for the lost right now. You can give them the hope that they need. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So how to deal with disaster and tragedy? When we were out in Montana this last week and a half or whatever it was, it was amazing, the smoke. You know, there's fires going on all around this country, forest fires, thousands of them, and the smoke just hovered in the mountains every single day. It was just like a blue haze throughout the mountains. The sun was orange during the day, the moon was orange at night, and it just, it's like the western part of the country is on fire. It looks like it's on fire out there. And you know, as I listened to social media and things that are going on and reading things and listening to other pastors and there's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of the unknown what's going on out there in our world right now. We don't have any idea what's going to happen in the next hour in this country, do we? We don't know what's going on. We're living in some serious times of this world, and we want to continue to be speaking and preaching and guiding our hearts toward the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was mighty concerned about that Himself. He spoke a lot about it, and we're going to focus on that today and what we need to do. I'm going to be preaching mostly out of Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 11 today, and to help us to realize that we need not fear in the day and hour we live, because not only our nation is in turmoil, but the whole world is in turmoil right now. You saw that little short clip of Jeffress up here speaking about the world things that are going on right now, and there's fear throughout the world. There's fear in this country. We don't know what's going to be happening. There's wars. There's rumors of wars. There's war. China rattling their saber. Russia, submarines in our coast, 300 miles from our coast. Things are moving. Things are happening, and I believe Jesus is getting ready to come, and I tell you what, we don't even know what our economy is going to do tomorrow when it starts up, do we? The economy, the Wall Street's been going bow, 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 like this here, and people are fearful what's going to happen to their 401ks, their retirements, and there's a lot of fear in the land today of going around. And you know something? We got the answer. I got the answer. I got the answer. If somebody comes to me, I'm excited. I'm not going to sit there glum. I'm going to tell them what the answer is. And I can sum it all up to my sermon really in one word, Jesus. I can do that. I can do that. But I'm going to make you guys suffer today and preach a whole sermon. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So today, again, there's many in shock and unbelief what's happening in our world. There's horror, there's anger, there's outrage by everything that's happening. And it's normal, isn't it, to feel all these emotions and things that are going on in our country. And necessary, it's emotions that are coming out of people right now. And I do know that we should avoid responding out of anger and rage if at all possible. We shouldn't be having to do that, should we? Because, again, we've got the answer. We know the answer. We know what the Lord said is going to happen in these last days in which we live. And I believe we are in those last days. I don't know if Jesus is going to come in the next 5 minutes or sooner. He could be another 100 years, but I'm going to live my life and look for him and love the appearance of his coming as if he's going to come before we finish church today. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's who he's coming for. That's who he's coming for, the ones that are looking for him and loving his appearing. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. See, God promises his comfort. I'm going to read out of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3 here. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen? Praise the Lord. How many in here need some joy this morning? Huh? You need some joy. Praise the Lord. Well, you came to the right place because Jesus just told us where it comes from right here in his word. Amen? Hallelujah. See, I want to help draw our attention back to God and to allow him to speak through his word. Let his word do the work. There's a song that I listened to this week, and I really like it. You can look it up on the internet, or maybe you already know it. Hold me, Jesus, I'm shaking like a leaf. It's a cool song. Because, you know, when I listened to that song, I thought about many of my brothers and sisters in Christ today that are shaking like leaves in the midst of the turmoil that's going on in their personal life as well as what's going on in the world. And this song, I think the guy was Big Daddy, was his name who wrote that song. But I'm shaking like a leaf. Do I hear talking away in the back? Or? But anyway, in this day, we need to respond as Christians, don't we? Not only as Americans, but as Christians in the hour that we're living right now, because there is a spiritual warfare for the soul of this country. Like Bob was saying earlier about our sister in the Lord, Kim Davis, she's been zeroed in on. But this is the first time right now where Christians, we are being put in jail for our faith. Who had ever thought that would come to America, amen? But it's here right now, and we don't know. It could start in every city of America within that short of time by one statement from the leader of this nation. But see, Kim Peterson is standing for what she believes. She's not backing down, not Peterson, Davis. She's standing for what she believes, and she's not willing to back down because she is so committed. And I listened to her testimony because they're coming about that she was divorced. She's on her third marriage, I believe, or something like that. And, of course, that was zeroed in right away. But how many know that Jesus forgives? Yes, when we repent of our sins and he forgives and she repented. And her commitment to the Lord so much, I heard some of it out of her lip. She is so committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. She wants to give her all to him for all he's done for her on the cross by forgiving her of her sins in her life. And now she's paying a price for it too. And we need to hold her up in prayer, which we are and will. Praise the Lord. The form, and you know something? Will our nation ever be the same? Will our world ever be the same? Well, here's what former NATO Supreme Commander General Wesley Clark, this is during right after 9/11, and he ended his comment with a haunting question. Will we ever be the same? Will we ever be the same? And you know, I want to give you an answer to that. I hope not. I hope we won't. And let me say, the worst thing that could happen in all this turmoil and tragedy is that we must not stay the same. We must never be the same again. There's no doubt the true hope for this world is Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to pronounce the name of Jesus throughout this world. Our struggling nation and a lost world needs a fresh introduction to the message of Jesus. God's people have got to stand up and begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world. We need to start now, and we should never be the same. That's why we're in the predicament, a lot of it today, is because the church no longer is the church the way it's supposed to be. We're self-centered and selfish, looking within ourselves. We're not concerned about the lost world out there more than, is this our best day today, our best life? We need to look at what God is doing, and we need to look at eternity is coming fast for people. There's people dying every day around us and around this world. In our struggling nation and lost world, they need a fresh introduction of Jesus. The generation urgently needs to learn of a new birth that comes through faith in Jesus. A church that is committed to obeying Christ and sharing the gospel. And this possibly could save our nation if God's people repent and turn back and begin to be the church that God has called us to be. Amen? That's what this world needs. It needs a fresh awakening of what the true church truly is. A nation is strong when their trust is in the Lord. The source of our strength cannot be in our government, in our economy, our building, or anything else that is temporary. We must return to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must return to the Lord. Too many people are looking to the government. They're looking to man. They're looking for all types of things, but not to God. The devil knows what he's doing to destroy people and their lives. And we're reminded of three essential truths about God from Psalms chapter 46, verses 1-11. And the first is God demonstrates his dependability through his protection. His protection. It says in Psalms 46, 1-3, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. That's God. See, in the midst of whatever we're seeing or feeling today, God desires to be our refuge, our strength, and our help. That's his desire. That's his desire. God is our refuge even when what seems permanent is demolished. He's our refuge. And when the world crashes in around us, God is still there protecting us. And our world is crashing down around us. It may be your personal world. It may be the world we live in, and it's crashing down around. But I want to assure you that God is still here in the midst protecting. Amen. And we need to look to him. Amen? Amen? See, the word refuge literally means to flee. To flee as in running to a shelter. The idea is that God wants us to run to him for protection. Did you hear that? To him, to him, to him. That's who we run to. And then the word strength we find in that verse implies that we can rely on his might when we feel weak and defenseless. You ever feel weak and defenseless? I sure have. But listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It says, Brother Paul says, therefore I take pleasure. I like that. What a positive attitude he had, even in the midst of the situation he was in. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. If you feel weak today and defenseless and helpless and discouraged and you're in persecution, you need to run to Jesus. You need to run to him. He's your protection, and he will show himself strong in your weakness. He will give you the strength to carry through in your weakness. Are you excited? I am. I depend upon God when I feel weak. I look to him, and he gives me the strength to go on, to carry forth, to move forward. It's the God of the universe, the creator that I put my trust in. In the midst of whatever we're seeing or feeling today, God's desire to be our refuge, our strength, and our help. That's his desire for us. And God is our refuge, even when what seems permanent is demolished and it's gone. He's still there. He's still there. Hallelujah. And then in Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, it says, very present help. I like that. Very present help. It means that God is quick to give assistance. The modifier very, it's a strong word, isn't it? It's a strong word. In other words, the Lord is intensively present helper for his people in the times of trouble. Intensively. He's there. He's with us. He never leaves us. He's there ready to assist us. Because of this, we do not have to fear people. And I believe fear is coming upon this world, upon this nation, upon homes, upon families, and we need to draw near. That has been our heart for Crossfire Assembly, to prepare for the coming of Jesus and to prepare for what Jesus warned continually throughout Scripture of what's going to be happening and what we are going to be faced with toward the end of days. I believe we're here. That's why you hear many pastors like this one we just heard and others around the country preparing their people for the coming of the Lord Jesus, because they don't want their people to get their eyes focused on the world and the things around them, but to focus on the one who is their protection. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. He's the one that we want you to be focused on, as the world that by it, Jesus said, the world's going to get darker and darker and darker. If all of a sudden the whole world became Christian, the world still wouldn't be a better place. It's going to get darker, Jesus said. Jesus is the light of the world. And he told us it's going to get darker and darker, even to the point where we can't work any longer. And Kim Davis is finding that out right now, that what happens when you stand for your faith. The word trouble, it can mean affliction and distress and tribulation. God is calling us today not to live in fear, because he is our refuge and he is our strength. Amen. If we run to him, we will not be afraid. If you sense that spirit of fear, and that's what it is, a spirit will try to come up on your life, God is calling us to run to him. To run to him, the protector. And see, people, when you read verses 1 and 2 here, verse 2 is true only if verse 1 is true. If God is your refuge and strength, you don't have anything to worry about this morning. Amen? Amen? We don't. No matter what's going on in our personal life or in the world around you, no matter what happens, if we run to Jesus, he is our protection. And I'm excited, because I've watched God in the last 5 years. I've said this before, and I'm going to keep reminding us, because we're leaky vessels. We seem to forget. God has answered prayers in this church, in people's lives, in our families' lives that we prayed for, and other people that walk through this door. God has touched their lives, and they go out and they forget to thank Jesus. Because he's our protection. He's our protection. He will do his part as you seek protection in him. In verse 2, the writer is imagining the worst calamity that could possibly hit his people as he describes earthquakes and volcanoes and erupting and mountains slipping into the sea. Even though the earth be removed or the landscape suddenly changes, we don't have to be afraid. And it's kind of talking toward the tribulation, going into the tribulation. The landscape of this world is going to change. The Word of God shows it. It's going to change. It's going to be a fearful sight, people. When we see our mighty God begin to move the way he says it's going to move, we're going to see changes in the land. We're going to see changes in the world. It's going to be a fearful sight to those who don't know Jesus. And I tell you what, it can be very fearful when it starts hitting our city, our community, our state, and our country. We're going to see things happening because I believe God is on the move and he's forming the nations the way he wants them to be before he comes back. And we need to be prepared in our hearts. We need to grow and become mature Christians in the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Don't we need to do that? See, mountains provided a refuge in the times of war, and we consider to be the most secure part of nature. I just got out of the mountains. How many have been in the mountains? When you look at mountains, don't you think they look really secure? A big old huge mountain. I was over by Beartooth Pass, and that puppy is up there. That's one big mean-looking mountain. And I thought, nothing could move that mountain. I mean, that's our natural thinking. But I tell you what, God can move it. God can move it. But I looked at that big mountain, and I thought, that mountain, when God wants that thing to slide into the sea, it will go into the sea. When he wants it to crumble into the valleys, it will crumble into the valleys. We don't put our trust in Beartooth Mountains. I've heard people many times in my Christian life say, hey, when I see the world get darker and darker, I'm going to flee to the mountains. I don't think I want to. I don't think I want to. That doesn't look like a very secure place to be according to what I read in the Word of God. See, they were the most fixed and firm things on the earth, but we don't put our trust in the mountains. We don't put our trust. We put our trust in Almighty God. That's who we put our trust in. Nothing in this world is stable. Nothing in this world is secure but Jesus. He's the only one. He's the one we run to no matter what we face in this life, personally or corporately or in this world. We run to Jesus. And in verse 3 describes the roaring waters of the sea, which is a picture of our lives when they're out of control. And many times our lives seemingly go out of control because of personal situations and things happening that are maybe out of our control. And we look around and think our lives are falling apart. Roaring means to be in great commotion, to rage, or to be in war, at war. See, our country today is in commotion as we wonder what's going to happen next. Something is going to happen. Even the world, the news channels even say something is going to happen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you going to run to Jesus? When the mountains shake with swelling, this refers to the pride or haughtiness of the mountains when it speaks about that. Our sense of pride and our invulnerability as a country has been replaced with a quaking and a concern about the future. I've always heard people growing, as I was growing up, talking about nothing can touch this nation, nobody can come against it, no armies, no other nation can bring this nation down. But look what's happening to America today. It's quaking and it's shivering in its boots as we see the very foundation moving. And it's getting fearful to a lot of people because they don't know what's going to happen. But I do! I got good news. I'm not done yet. If we become more humble, did you hear that? We need to be a humble people, not prideful, but to be a humble people. And as a result, and recognize that God is our protector. He's our protector. Our perfect love casts out fear, putting our trust and faith in a loving God. When we put our trust in a loving God, perfect love casts out fear. The psalmist is saying that when that which is secure is suddenly gone, we're to seek the refuge in God himself. And we even experience that in our personal lives when we lose a loved one. When there's things that happen in our life, divorces and everything like that, we experience those types of things when our foundation is torn apart, that there's God right there and we can run to him as a refuge. Isn't that a comforting thought to know that we serve a living God, that when our world is collapsing around us, we can run to him and put our trust in him and watch him begin to do the work and to bring it around? Praise the Lord. How many read the book of Job? Look what happened to his life within moments of time. Lost everything. But look at the end of his story. Everything was replaced and restored because he ran to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our sense of helplessness and fear should drive us to Him. I'm praying that these times that we're living in right now, that these times that will bring us to our knees and cause us to be more humble, a more humble people and a nation. That's why people, if you can make it to a prayer meeting, when churches offer prayer meetings, come to a prayer meeting. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's always been time to pray, but it's really time to pray now, because the world's going to get worse and worse. And I'm not doomsday. I'm excited, because I know that God is in control and He's permitting these things to happen, because He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and most of you know, you've heard it many times, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We need to run to the Lord. And then secondly, His presence. We have that in the Psalms 46, 4-7. It says, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her," and that right clearly. "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Pause. God's our refuge. He's here this morning. He's here at Crossfire this morning. He's our refuge. He's here ready. He's to protect us, and He's here in our presence. And God protects us when we seek refuge in Him. Fortunately, we don't have to run far to find Him, because His presence is right here. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to go to a tabernacle or some country or some place or a mountain. He's right here this morning. If you're in your heart right now hurting, you're crying out, you're saying, "I need You, God." He hears, He's here, and He's ready to help and to protect. His presence is here. God's grace flows like a river that brings gladness and joy into His people. And see, while the oceans rage and foam, God's presence is depicted in this scripture as calm and like a gentle flowing stream. I remember this story in the scripture in Matthew 8:24. Remember, the Bible says that the waves were over the boat. They covered the boat. Jesus was sleeping. But see, He was there. His presence was in the boat. Jesus slept because He is God. He's the Creator. He owned those waves. He could sleep peacefully. And everybody on that boat, when they run to Jesus, His presence was there, ready to help them to calm the waves and to calm their hearts right at that moment of time. Boom, He was there. I bet all of them thought they're going to die when they saw those big waves coming over. They're overwhelming, and they had no power to stop them. But there was someone's presence on that boat that had the power to say, "Calm down, waves." And that's the same God that's in here today. And as our world changes, and it's going to continue to change more rapidly and rapidly, those birth pangs as we get closer, we need to look at that Jesus and remember that His presence is here. Amen? God's presence with His people is one of the central truths of Scripture that you can find. Verse 5 says that God is in the midst of her. And verse 7 declares that the Lord of hosts is with us. And this is from the root word Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. That means that when we put our faith in Jesus, we have God with us. And if you're in here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you don't have God with you. You're not going to have that peace and that calm and that joy and that contentment knowing that He's ready to be with you where you're at. No matter how bad things get, God's presence means that He will help us. No matter what's going on in your life and in my life, no matter if it's instantaneous, God says, be not fearful, be not afraid of sudden fear. No matter what's going on in our life, if it happens suddenly or whatever, God's presence is with us when we belong to Jesus, when we're born again. He's there. His presence is with us at all times. When we wake up to start a brand new day, we will experience what Jeremiah did in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Did you hear that? His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Say, even though Jeremiah could see nothing but devastation around him, he knew. He put his trust in a never-failing God. See, God is faithful to us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. He told us that, did he not? He said he's never going to leave us. Never. Even when you don't sense God or feel God, he's still there. And that's a part of growing in the things of God, letting your faith grow, knowing that as your feelings change and your emotions change, that God never does. He's always the same to yesterday, today, and forevermore, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is there in the middle of whatever you and I are walking through, and we can take joy in that. And I'd like to remind you of Romans chapter 8, 39. It says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing! Nothing. When you belong to Jesus, nothing can separate you from Him. And God is present with His people. Even when nations are in uproar and kingdoms fail, always count on His presence, people. Always count on, no matter what, always know when we see events changing in this country, in your personal life, when those changes are happening in your life, when things suddenly happen in your life, always remember, Jesus is there to protect you, and His presence is there with us. It's right there. You can put that. It says it in His Word. I just read it to you. The last part of verse 6 reminds us of God's incredible power. Also, when He uttered His voice, the earth melted, consumed, dissolved. I don't have a loud voice. God does. He uttered His voice and the earth melted, it dissolved, it consumed. That's the God we serve. That's why we need not be fearful. That's why we see these events happening in the end times are happening. We serve the living God that is the God that is able to control. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly when it's going to happen. And He knows how it's going to end in your and my life, every facet of it. Because when He speaks, the earth melts. Praise the Lord. What is happening in our world today is nothing compared to the awesome power of our God that we serve. The raging world melts or dissolves before Him. And in verse 7 concludes by saying that the God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. As in verse 1, God is depicted not only as powerful, but also as a refuge and strength that we can run to for safety. We can run to Him for safety. By the way, it is said that this is the text that moved Martin Luther to write the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. The description of God in the first part of 7, the Lord of hosts, that host refers to all the armies of heaven. The Lord Almighty has all the hosts of heaven ready to do His work. You and I cannot see into the spiritual realm right now, but believe me, God's got an army. God's got an army. God's got an army, multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of angels. He's got an army. As such, we can take comfort in His presence as we seek His protection. If you're in turmoil this morning, just run to Jesus and let Him protect you no matter what that circumstance is, and just practice His presence. According to His Word, He's here. Just let yourself know that, Lord, you said in your word that you would never leave me nor forsake me, and that you're here. You're in the midst. You're in the midst of my circumstance of life, and it's out of control. I don't know how to fix it. Because how many know we can't fix other people, can we? Only God can do that. But when we run to him, we'll let God do the work. And then lastly, in the scripture is his position. And we can depend on God during these times of his protection, his presence, and finally because of his position. It says in Psalms 46, 8 and 11, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Whew. You see how this God can change circumstances? Our president and the presidents and the kings of the nations, they can make their silly little plans, but in the final story, God is the one's got the final say. And he can change them. He can stop wars. He can allow them to start. But man's plans don't outdo God. They may think they did. They may think they can make the ocean levels rise or lower. But they can't even make a bug do that, a gnat. But see, God created the seas and the oceans. And as a nation and a church, according to verse 8, we're called to come behold the works of God. When we begin to see many things happening in our world right now, we got to look and say, our God is working. He's at work. He's at work in this world, and he is at work in this world. He is saving lost souls by the multitudes that you and I have no idea about, and he does it through people like you and I as we share the good news. See, this word means to run or pursue in order to see, which refers to gazing and contemplating or perceiving. Come behold the works of the Lord. And verse 9 shows us that his position as the Almighty God, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear asunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. The Assyrian army was at that time the mightiest on the globe. It had already overrun many of the smaller kingdoms and had hoped to conquer the entire world. But God had other plans. Did you hear that? But God had other plans. A broken bow is of no value, and a spear that is shattered is no longer effective. Chariots set on fire cannot function. In his position as sovereign king, God is in charge. Aren't you excited? I'm excited. God's in charge. He's in charge. Even if you and I walk through difficult times, we can know that God is in charge. Because of his position, he's in charge. Verse 10 calls us to bow before his position as a sovereign ruler. It says, we're called to be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still means to cast down or to let fall, to slacken, abate, cease, let alone. Be still. Be still. It's the idea of not putting forth exertion. It's better to leave matters in God's hand when problems are too great for us. That's who we put them in. We just say, God, they're yours. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea. I have no control. They're totally out of control. Lord, I just surrender to you right now. I run to you. I run to you for protection. And your presence is here. And your position, you have the power to change the circumstance that I thought could never be changed. That's the God that we serve. We're not to just have a moment of silence or even to just be quiet. The purpose is so that we can know God. To know means to acknowledge and comprehend or discover. More people got to know God. We've got to know this God that we live for and serve him. We've got to learn that, and we learn that through His Word, who He is. That's why it's so important to get into the Word of God and read from Genesis to Revelation and look at this God that we serve, that you can put your trust in Him and run to Him, because His character of who He is all spelled out in His Word, and that's who He is, and we got to know Him. We got to literally know Him. We're to cease striving and working in our own self-effort and submit ourselves to God. And notice in verse 10, He says, I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. God said that. As we quiet our souls and reflect upon His position as Lord over the whole world, we will recognize His supremacy and invitably triumph over all the nations. We're going to watch our God do that. Until we're still and quiet before Him. The awesome reality of His coming exaltation among all the nations will not impact us. It's going to be a frightful thing in this world, people. We're beginning to see it right now. The beginning, the birth pangs are getting closer and closer together. Our Lord will be exalted among the nations. And His people, you and I, that are born-again Christians, we need to be doing the work that He's called us to do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And not just in the name of Jesus. See what it says in Acts 2:36? God has made that same Jesus Lord and Christ. God made Him Lord in Christ. Psalms 46:11 is a great summary statement of this entire Psalms. Because the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we can trust Him, people. We can trust Him in His position as supreme commander of the armies of heaven. We can trust Him. His presence is with us. Because of that, we can run to Him for protection. Jesus Christ is God and Lord of history. Nothing has happened outside of His plan upon this earth from the beginning of time to where we're at today. It all follows right through. He's Lord of our history. Nothing ever leaves Him bewildered or astonished, and nothing ever catches Him by surprise. It might you and I, but it doesn't our Father. It doesn't our Jesus. Nothing catches them by surprise. They see it, they know it. And they're ready to give answer. Though there is tragedy and war through the mountains, and though the mountains fall into the sea, and those who know Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Whether nature wreaks havoc or the nations rage against one another, God is our refuge. He's our refuge. If war, disasters, and tragedies come, God will still provide His protection and presence because of His position as the Lord of hosts. And things are going to come, people. Be prepared in the Word of God. Things are going to change and things are going to happen. God, He will ultimately triumph. And then, action steps. It's difficult to know how to respond to what is happening in our country sometimes, but I feel compelled to conclude with at least 5 steps, and I'll go through them quickly here. Number one, get right with God. If you're in here this morning and you're not right with the Lord, you need to get right with the Lord before it's too late. Your world can change within a second, within a blinking of an eye, your whole world to where you may not have that chance. You need to get right with God. As Billy Graham said, those people who died on 9/11 were not planning to die. They got up in the morning, they jumped on a plane, or they went to work. They had no idea that they'd wake up in eternity. And that happens even in our community every day. Someone is dying within this city alone, just this one. Every single day, someone is dying. And they didn't wake up in the morning thinking, I'm going into eternity. They may have been carrying grudges and having serious issues going on in their relationships and their families and their home, and they were focused on that and not up on their eternal soul, and they left this earth. Gone. Every one of us. It could happen to us. It can happen to us. The real tragedy, Billy Graham says, is that some of them ended up in the eternal fires of hell because they had not confessed the name of Jesus Christ while they were alive. If you have not yet put your faith in Jesus and you're in there this morning, ask him for forgiveness of your sins. Do that. Do it now. Do it while I'm in here speaking before it's too late. You don't know, your heart could stop right now while you're sitting in a chair. You can ask Ananias and Sapphira. They were sitting in church and they dropped dead. Well, I don't know if they're sitting in church, but they dropped dead instantly. And by the way, people do drop dead in church too. You got to do it before it's too late. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be tomorrow, on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." See, Job lived 200 years, people. He lived 200 years and said, "My life is the wind." The older we get, we realize it, don't we? Us that are in older, we think, "Man, has my life gone by this fast already?" Job lived 200 years and he said, "My life is a wind." And look at Moses. He lived 120 years and he said, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." That's how fast life goes by. I mean, I remember when I was 21, I got born again. Excited. Well, I'm still excited, but I'm sure a lot older. And I don't know where that time has gone. But it's gone. And then we need to ask a question, what is your life? You're in the mist that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I just saw on Facebook a friend of ours, a friend of Amy's that she attended college with, a young gal in their church. I don't know how old she was. She looked like she was about 17, 18 years old. But she died yesterday of cancer at that young age. She's gone. She didn't get to live to 80 to 90 years old. She died as a teenager. We never know. And we play around with this stuff and we don't realize that eternity is coming quickly. It says in Psalms 90:12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The truth of the matter is that everybody in this room is just one heartbeat away from eternity. Every one of us. A car accident, or even a terrorist attack. You and I can be involved in a terrorist attack in this city. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. It could snuff us out within an instant. 1 Samuel 23, "And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." And interestingly, in Luke 13:5, it says, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We're all going to die, people, one way or another. Therefore, we must get ready. And if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you need to do it right. If you haven't, you need to do it right now, before it's too late. Especially in the hour we live. And then get ready for the return of Jesus. These tragic events serve as a reminder that this world will not last forever either. It says in Luke 21:10-11, "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be from heaven." And you know, brother, sister, I want to say this. People are sitting in churches and being fed a bunch of junk, and they're not being prepared for the fearful sights that are coming upon the earth. They're not being prepared for it. And this gives us an idea what it will be like in the last days. And at the very minimum, these tragic events should remind us that even greater events of even more sudden destruction awaits mankind. It's going to get worse. I'm not being doomsday. I'm being like Jesus. I'm warning you and I that we are but a moment away from death. And Jesus said it's going to happen. And he continually, Jesus continually talked about it throughout the scripture. Because he knows. And as such, we need to be ready. 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I'm excited about the coming of Jesus. It's going to be an awesome time. And then tell others about Jesus. Tell others. We need to warn with zeal to help rescue people who are trapped in their sin. We need to tell them that you, if you die in your sin, you will not go to heaven. We don't have time to sit there and tell them that this life is going to be your best life. We need to tell them that one day you're going to die. You're going to die and go into eternity. Are you ready? Are you prepared? That's why we hand out tracts. I handed out a tract at a residence in on our trip to a lady. I just felt in my heart. I looked at her and I said, she needs to hear about Jesus. As she's behind her counter waiting, I said, would you take this? And when you have a free moment, will you read this? It was the Word of God. What I couldn't do on the spot, I knew that that Word was within there. The message, it could change her life for all eternity. And we need to do that, people. We need to tell people about Jesus. And many of us, sadly, we insulate ourselves from those who need rescuing. And people, a crisis always creates an opportunity. Did you know that? When Jesus describes the signs of the end of the age, he tells his followers in Luke 21:13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. And then it's time for the church to be the church, Acts 2, 42-47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And there came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. I believe churches, small churches especially, are going to grow, not because the preachers are out there trying to grow churches to get numbers and dollars up, but the churches are going to grow because there are people out there right now that are walking in fear, and they're going to wonder what's going to happen. They're looking for answers. I want to be one of those people who are going to tell them what the answer is. I want to be one of those people who are going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about you? Amen? And these events have highlighted some of the importance of the church acting like the church. Let's stop playing games, people. We have to. Time is short. Let's bind together in unity and minister side by side to win a lost and dying world. That's what we're called to do, to reach the world. Satan would have us get off on junk and silliness. And it's what we need to do is realize that people, our next door neighbors, our family members, are all going into an eternal hell, and they need the Word of God. And we need to live according to what this Word says. Amen? And we need to bind together. Let's pray as if everything depends on God. Let's deal decisively with sin in our lives and practice grace and forgiveness with each other. Amen? When Japan bombed Pearl Harbor 60 years ago, this December, there was a feeling, or not this December, but there was a feeling of exhilaration among our enemies. But one man knew better. Japanese Admiral Yamamoto knew that rather than victory, Japan had instead sowed the seeds for its final defeat. In his famous quote, he said, "We have awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve." See, while these disasters and tragedies may indeed awaken America, my prayer is that the sleeping giant called the church will wake up and resolve to exalt God through instruction, through ministry, through prayer, through adoration, through caring, through telling others about the gospel. And then lastly, love people who are different than us. Jesus spoke some words that are difficult for us to hear because we're in the middle of trying to sort out our feelings with all the things that are happening. But listen to what he said in Matthew 5, 43 and 45. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust alike. People, this is radical. It's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do. Related to this, let's make sure that we're not judging and blaming everyone who happens to be from the Middle East. We got to be careful of that right now. God may have sent them over for us to reach them for the gospel. And this is our opportunity to stand up and to speak the word of God to them. People who have no value for life commit these acts of horror that we see around the world right now. Stand up for those who may be wrongly and falsely persecuted in the days to come. You may have to stand up for people, friends, family. You don't know. You may have to stand up for your faith along with them. We need to be ready, don't we? Let's all stand, please. Will we be the same? No. No, we won't be the same, and we can't be the same. But may God be exalted in his church. May God be exalted in his church. I know these messages sometimes can be heavy, but they're truth. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus loves his creation so much he warned continually. But I believe as we seek his kingdom and his righteousness and all the things that we have in our personal lives, they'll be added on too. With every head bowed, I just want to make sure. With every head bowed. Maybe you walked in here today and said, I just thought I'd go visit that church. But I tell you what, if you're in here and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you've never asked for forgiveness, you've never committed your life, Jesus said you must be born again. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, no, not one. Don't stand in here and say, I hope I go to heaven when I die. If you do, you're on shaky ground. You've got to know. The Bible says we can know that we have salvation. Is there anybody in here this morning that would say, I need to give my life to Jesus before it's too late? Just raise your hand. Is there anybody in here? You've never done that. I need to give my life to, I need to surrender to Jesus before it's too late. How many in here would agree with me that we need to ask the Lord to give us a zeal in our hearts for the lost? Just put your hand up and so to the Lord and out of a just to let him know that we desire as a church that we will be a church to win a lost world, that we want to renew our desire to go to, even this week, to go to at least one person this week and share the gospel, if not every day. And Father, you see these hands, and Lord, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you will open doors that no man can close and shut doors that no man can open, that you would bring the right people to us or lead us to them to share the good news before Jesus comes back, that we can win one more for the kingdom of heaven, for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that you do a supernatural move in the hearts of your people, in each one of us, Father. Continue to convict our hearts and lives of anything that would separate us from you or shame you in any way, Father, in our lives. I pray that the conviction of the Holy Spirit will continue to move in our lives as a church, as a body, Father. And I pray that you meet all the needs of the people here, Lord, that you would supernaturally touch their bodies, touch their finances, touch their relationships, touch their homes, touch their children, touch every facet of their lives, and let them see that you're a sovereign God and that you're moving supernaturally amongst us. Even right now, Lord, your presence is here. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for coming today. How many get to go to work tomorrow? Praise the Lord. See you tonight at prayer. Lord bless you. Stay excited about Jesus. Amen. Sister?